feasting with the Lord. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 1. This verse is the bridegroom lover's answer to an invitation from his elect bride, the church. For in the previous chapter she had said, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." He informs her he has come into her garden as she desired, and he gives an account of what he has done there, and so invites his friends to feast with him there. Now we notice, first of all, the Lord's presence. "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse." This is a most endearing title the bridegroom gives his elect bride. "My sister" points to our Lord's incarnation and a closeness through his birth into our humanity, in that he assumed the same flesh and blood as we. All believers are adopted too into the family of God. So that in some scriptures our Lord is not ashamed to call himself brother to the company of the redeemed. Since therefore they are children of God, he addresses the church as sister. Spouse is a nearer relation and much more intimate, and thus the relation between Christ and his church is set in the union of husband and wife by which they become one. The great mystery spoken by Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. The Lord tells his bride he is come, but many, I fear, are not sensible to his presence, as with Mary Magdalene in the garden. He was standing by her in the power of resurrection life, yet she knew him not, but thought him to be a common person as the gardener. John 20 and verse 15. You see then, he is sometimes present when he is not, when it is not known that he is. But we can see later, maybe a sleepy frame of mind and an ungrateful spirit to her beloved can make her insensible to his living presence. But to those who have deep longings for a manifestation of his sensible presence, as this bride at this point has, he answers their desires and assures them of his presence. "I am come." He does not send a mighty angel, but comes himself. And his spiritual presence is all that believers can ask in the way of their joy and delight. His personal presence is all she could desire, and his real presence is no delusion, no figment of the imagination, no dream or fancy. The Lord's presence can be very, very real to us. Then we notice the Lord's satisfaction. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. The myrrh may be designed to show the sufferings of our Lord, which were exceedingly bitter to him, as myrrh is bitter. Yet these very sufferings are also like spices and a sweet smelling savour, both to God and to his saints, the fruits of which are also delightful to himself, and which he is now reaping with pleasure. They also represent, in figure, the worship and praise of his people, which rise like incense before his throne of glory. This is the fruit of his own toil and suffering. It is the harvest of his travail on our behalf. What we offer through redemption is a feast for him, and he finds his delight and satisfaction as his people give him his due praise. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. A piece of honeycomb, full with honey, was held in great esteem by the Jews. That he should eat his honey in the comb seems to me to suggest order. The honey in the hive is deposited in a systematic way. It speaks of the orderly way believers meet and the preference they give to worship. The honeycomb may also speak to us of the body of true doctrine in which the love of his people is enclosed. The graces and virtues which he develops in them are as sweet as honey, but they appear best when offered in the pure doctrines of revealed truth. When these doctrines are faithfully dispensed in an orderly way, they are very pleasing to the Lord. Then he goes on and says, I have drunk my wine with my milk. Now, a mixture of wine and milk was much used by the ancients and was esteemed very health-giving. The wine signifies a reviving and cheering quality, and the milk a nourishing and strengthening nature. Having eaten, he now drinks to make a complete feast. This is his joy fulfilled. He is filled with exultation when he has his worshipping people before him in all his righteousness. The milk, as I have said, points to the nourishing life by which they have grown strong in him, and the wine to the joyous life of the spirit which bubbles up within them. He is exceedingly well pleased with all he finds in the midst of his people. Then we notice the Lord's invitation. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. This is an invitation to his friends. So here is a feast. A variety of sweet, wholesome food and drink, and all our Lord's own provision. He speaks of my myrrh, my spice, my honeycomb, my honey, my wine, my milk, as all the graces given the saints are. They're all his, given to us. And all believers are the friends who are reconciled to God by our Lord's death, and reconciled to himself by his spirit and grace. And whom he treats by visiting them and disclosing the secrets of his heart to them. They are spoken of as beloved, beloved of God, and there is a holy and tender bond between Christ and his saints. The feast is not for those who love him not, nor is it for aliens or enemies. His friends are his beloved. These are they whom he loves and who now love him, and to whom he has given the clearest demonstration of his love. It is these whom he invites to feast with him. He himself is the bread and wine of life. The more we eat and drink of him, the better we will feel. The more holy we shall be, and the more strength we shall have. And please note the word abundantly. It speaks of plenteousness. Of him we can never partake too richly. The more we eat and drink, the more we enjoy him, and the more our life and love increase toward him. Shall we then be content with spare provisions? and small pickings when he invites us to partake abundantly. Christ is no niggardly feast. A figure of him is seen in the rich provision of Solomon's table in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. What a privilege it is not only to be the Lord, but to sit at such a table of bountiful love. Oh, may the Lord give us relish and appetite for such a holy and satisfying feast. Now listen to the words of Philip Doddridge. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell, no heart conceive how dear. This name shall shed its fragrance still along the thorny road, shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. And there with all the blood-bought throng, from sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love to me. Amen and amen.